Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Today's program, Never Too Old to Volunteer, was inspired by the recent issue of 55 Plus magazine, which offers insight into the motivation for several senior volunteers. That then led to the web and discovery of an incredible variety of opportunities with a wide range of time commitment for senior volunteerism, which I offer you now with these titles. Points of Light for Volunteer Opportunities for Seniors, The Incredible 101-Year-Old Volunteer, Eleanor Berry, 92, Honored for Voter Registration, Life After Prostate Cancer Scare, and Help from Home. Points of Light for Volunteer Opportunities for Seniors, The Health Benefits of Volunteering as You Age and How Older Adults Can Get Involved. Senior citizens are an important part of the volunteer community, with millions of seniors donating their time to make a difference each year. In 2014 alone, the Corporation for National and Community Service reported that 10 7/10 million older Americans spent a combined 2 billion hours volunteering. Studies have also shown that volunteering has great benefits as you age. Older volunteers show lower mortality and depression rates, fewer physical limitations, and higher levels of well-being compared to others in their age group. The National Institute on Aging found that participating in meaningful, productive activities such as volunteering may lower the risk of health problems, including dementia, and improve longevity. Here are four ways seniors can get involved. Join RSVP. RSVP is one of the largest volunteer networks in the nation for people 55 and older. A program of SeniorCorps, it provides flexible and diverse opportunities for older adults to get involved in their communities. A bit more on that later. Spend time with kids. There are plenty of ways for older volunteers to engage with kids and share some love with a younger generation. Check out the Service Corps' Foster Grandparents program, or Big Brothers, Big Sisters, to match with a child today. You can also reach out to your local children's hospital to see how you can support patients and their families. Ask your place of worship if they need help with children or the local library. Third, help out a fellow senior. For those looking to connect with someone their own age, consider becoming a senior companion to help others remain independent as they age. Many residents of assisted living facilities would love to see a friendly face, too. So consider stopping by and seeing how you can brighten someone's day. And I'll introduce you to three inspiring volunteers who don't limit their help to just seniors. Our 101-year-old Red Cross volunteer, our cancer survivor support group, and a woman passionate about voter registration. And finally, start small. Micro-volunteering is a great way to make an impact with small actions that you can do from the comfort of your own home. Visit Help from Home for hundreds of bite-sized service projects that you can do on your own time with skills you already have. And I'll share some of my recent experience there. RSVP volunteers receive pre-service orientation training from the organization where they will serve and supplemental insurance while on duty. RSVP volunteers do not receive monetary incentives, but sponsoring organizations may reimburse them for some cost incurred during service. Service opportunities are as diverse as the communities in which volunteers serve and may include organizing neighborhood watch programs, tutoring and mentoring disadvantaged or disabled youth, renovating homes, teaching English to immigrants, or assisting victims of natural disasters. The time commitment varies by program. Foster grandparents serve an average of 20 hours per week in schools, hospitals, drug treatment centers, correctional institutions, and/or child care centers. Senior companions serve an average of 20 hours per week, with the majority of the volunteer service taking place in the homes of their clients. And RSVP volunteers choose how, where, and how often they want to serve, anywhere from a few hours to a maximum of 40 hours per week. The incredible 101-year-old volunteer. When reporters interview someone who has passed the 100-year mark, one question always arises. What's the secret to longevity? 101-year-old Blanche Bowden of Wisconsin had a pretty simple answer for WBAY News in Green Bay. Don't sit around and mope. Keep busy and do something. As a Red Cross volunteer of 40 years, Blanche knows what she's talking about. This longtime advocate for blood donation spends about 24 hours a month staffing the registration desk at the Red Cross Green Bay Blood Donation Center. In 2016, she devoted her 100th birthday party to a blood drive. In 2017, she did the same, inspiring her community to give back in her honor. Both events brought in an incredible number of blood donations, as well as positive press. But these parties were really just the natural extension of what Blanche has done quietly and steadily for over four decades. Back in 2012, when she was 96, Blanche told the Green Bay Press Gazette about her work with the Red Cross, saying, "I just love it. I hate to think of the day when I can't volunteer anymore." When Blanche's husband died many years ago, she decided she had to do something to keep busy. At first, she volunteered making quilts and helping cook Thanksgiving dinners for the needy in her community. Then she dedicated herself to the Red Cross. She was a volunteer driver for Red Cross Transportation Services and also worked at local blood drives well into her 90s. In fact, Blanche has been with the Red Cross for so long that she experienced firsthand the organization's transition to a computerized system. While she hadn't owned a computer herself and felt a bit intimidated, she learned how to put blood donor information into the computer the volunteers nicknamed Susie. Today, at 101, Blanche still works hard to make sure the Red Cross in Wisconsin has enough blood on its shelves to serve and help save patients. She gets tired sometimes, but Blanche says her work with blood donors keeps her active and full of life. At 101, and a few months, Blanche gives her time and her heart to help people in need, and she knows very well the importance of the blood donors that she checks into her computer. A robust blood supply is necessary to help save lives in every region, in every state, around the clock, whether in the dry heat of a desert summer or the frigid cold of a Wisconsin winter. Volunteers like Blanche remind us that the need for donated blood, platelets, and plasma never ceases. Few people can match what Blanche has done for the Red Cross, but each of us can commit to do our own small part to help. And now, Eleanor Berry, 92, volunteered for her efforts in voter registration. First question, what was your reaction when you won certain awards? Answer, when it came to the chamber, they called me in late February and told me that I was nominated for an award, but wouldn't know until later in March if I won. In my category, I was one of four people. When they called my name, I was in shock. It was because when I heard of all the wonderful work these other people in my category were doing, I thought one of them deserved it. When it comes to the school district award, I was honored and really appreciated it. It was especially great because I was honored for all of the work I do with registering people to vote. What is your role when it comes to the local elections and voter registrations? I'm involved with the annual Victor Central School District vote, Board of Elections, special project votes, along with voter registration. It's something that I've been a part of my life since the 1960s, and I have been chairwoman of the Victor Central School District Board of Elections for decades. I really care about registering people to vote. When people are new to Victor, I have been part of the committees who came to their doors to register them. I remember running into a woman years later who said she recognized me because I had come to her door when she first came to Victor, and she was pregnant, and I was telling her all about voting. It really makes me proud to make a difference. Why are you so passionate about voting? Well, I have always believed that every vote counts. You see, other countries where people wait in the longest lines to register to vote or to vote on election day, and in America, we are making it easier and easier to register and vote, and people don't do it. I think it is a privilege to vote. The vote doesn't always go your way, but at least you have a right to vote. I will always believe in that. What are some other ways you volunteer? I have been active in many organizations. I was with the Ontario County United Way before they combined with Rochester. I was doing Meals on Wheels, which has always been a special program for me, where I brought food to people who were shut-ins. I was also involved in a program called Neighbors in Ministry, where we provide seniors with rides to doctor's offices, shopping trips, and light housework. It's great because sometimes people don't have a way to get to these important appointments during the daytime because their families are at work. So we are just helping them out. We serve more than 100 clients now. Why was the Meals on Wheels program so special to you? Many times, we were the only people they would see the whole day. There are people who need services, and they appreciated everything. Whenever I would ring the doorbell and nobody would come to the door, I would keep knocking or ask a neighbor if they had seen that person recently. I was always worried that they had fallen or had some kind of problem, so I would never leave until someone came to the door. What kinds of things do you do in your spare time? I really enjoy reading, whether it's historical books or newspapers. I knit shawls as part of my program at St. Patrick's Church, and I like playing bridge when I get a chance. When it comes to television, I usually like watching news programs. I like to keep busy. I tell people you have to be active because there are so many things you can do that you don't cost you any money and that you can really enjoy. When I retired from Eastman Kodak in March of 1983, I said I would make sure that I would keep as active as possible, and I have done that. And now, a survivor story, life after a prostate cancer scare. When Patrick Fisher, 67, of Penfield, is a cancer survivor. In 2010, his doctor noted Fisher's PSA, prostate-specific antigen, level was going up. Something was active in the gland that provides seminal fluid. He had a biopsy and was told there were cancer cells present. Fisher was stunned. I had no symptoms. Well, he decided to undergo robotic or da Vinci surgery, a prostatectomy, which removed much of the gland. I had absolutely no regrets, he said. But he did feel cheated because no one had explained the options, and there are many, for treatment and the various outcomes that can be expected. He's worked in the medical industry, and he understands why. No provider, doctor, has time to sit down and walk you through all of the options and all of the outcomes and the risks you face, he said. After surgery, Fisher was incontinent, and keeping a job while in that state was quickly out of the question. He went on disability and then retired. He realized he was fighting this thing alone. When I got my diagnosis, I had a bad attitude about support groups, he said. I thought they were groups of grumpy old men sitting around and complaining about their outcomes. I didn't need that negativity, so I did my own research. He found out that urinary incontinence was common, and many men have erectile dysfunction after prostate surgery. But there are therapies, Fisher said. His doctor told him that he could get himself back in normal form only through a dedicated effort, and that's what Fisher did. He retired to concentrate on the therapies that would give him normal bladder control, and he stresses that it took not one whit less than a dedicated effort. Today, I'm normal, he said. While I was going through all this aggravation, and it was 2 years, I wondered if there were support groups that would help men like me. He found that the American Cancer Society had stopped hosting such groups, and that Gilda's Club, which did meet, didn't have an educational component, and no doctors attended. He found out about US2, US, capital T-O-O, a national organization, and saw that the group had chapters as close as Batavia, Syracuse, and Utica, but nothing in Rochester. I made a call to headquarters and asked why there was no chapter in Rochester. They told me that they were trying to develop one and needed an interested patient to get them started. Fisher raised his hand, and he got US2 off the ground. That was 2012. Fisher worked hard to get the first meetings together, running ads in Penny Savers and crossing his fingers that 10 to 15 men might show up. 35 did. I found out that this was something the community would support, he said. What US2 provides for each meeting is an educational component with an expert, an oncologist or urologist or physical therapist, on hand to explain things and answer questions. Our meetings are facilitated by a subject matter expert, he said, and in those meetings, people get answers. In between meetings, Fisher, who retired again but now spends most of his time organizing, goes to doctors' offices and drops off flyers and announcements for the next meetings, which are held at Legacy Living Centers throughout the area. His mailing list now has 350 people on it. He also spends a lot of time on the phone, answering questions and referring people and telling the story of US2 to men who need to hear it. And every meeting is valuable. Every day there's something new, he said. For example, HIFU, high-intensity focal ultrasound, treatment has just been approved in the United States. It's been used in Canada and Europe for years. There is hope that the newest immunotherapy treatments used for other kinds of cancer will be able soon to marshal the body's own defense system to kill the cancer. Fisher learned the hard way about the mistake not to get more information before he started on his journey with prostate cancer. He offers the same advice he now follows. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Talk it up to your peers. I bet if you pick six of your male friends, you'll find one of them is dealing with prostate cancer. US2 members now help staff information booths at shopping malls, organize annual fundraisers, car shows, motorcycle rides, the SCA Blue Ribbon Walk for Prostate Cancer, August 19th in Genesee Valley Park, for example. And the group sponsors the annual Distinguished Gentleman's Ride for Prostate Cancer Motorcycle Cavalcade, September 24th, and the annual Camp Good Days Prostate Cancer Retreat Weekend, October 14th to 15th. If you're taking Fisher's advice and are ready to speak up to get more information, you can call US2 at 585-787-4011. And now we're going on to Help From Home, an amazing website I just found. Founded in 2008, Help From Home is a volunteer-driven initiative that promotes and encourages participation in easy, no-commitment, on-demand, micro-volunteering opportunities where a spare 10 seconds to 30 minutes is all that's needed to help out worthy causes. We do not run any of the actions featured on our site. We merely showcase them from nonprofit organizations. We are considered one of the pioneers of the micro-volunteering arena, where we promote the concept to many sectors of society. And here's how it works. It's micro-volunteering. You volunteer your time in bite-sized chunks from your own home, on demand, and on your own terms. You benefit worthy causes to suit your lifestyle via non-skilled actions. Dip in and dip out with absolutely no commitment, and it's free. And, oh yeah, you can do them in your pajamas. There are three main action areas: do-good actions, green actions, and advocacy actions. Examples of do-good include CAPS, and hats for cancer patients, sending e-cards, or games for research. The green actions include, well, of course, donating money, collecting tree data, eating differently, and stopping junk mail. Some advocacy includes toxic waste, clean water, human rights, and poverty. And some other popular causes are animal welfare, aquatic life and oceans, community development, environment, health and medicine, human welfare, poverty, and science and research. Now, to the business world, for employees, you can change your world during your lunch break. Create impact without ever leaving your office. For students, students and teachers alike can create impact from the classroom. Perfect for a quick lesson in volunteering. And of course, for seniors, micro-volunteering from your favorite armchair. So many easy-peasy actions to participate in. And for smartphone users, loads of micro-volunteering actions tailored to your mobile. Pocket-sized benevolence was never this easy. Again, here are some do-good activities. The Hatbox Foundation knitting caps for cancer patients. The time taken? Well, multiple sessions of 30 minutes needed to knit or crochet a cap. The impact? You provide a knitted or crocheted cap to patients with hair loss due to cancer. The cost? A nominal cost for yarn and the mailing. Other similar are chemo caps, comforting cancer patients, and knitting for noggins, hats for children in the hospital. Green opportunities. A digital fisheries. This is a crowdsourced observation game. It only takes a minute for each video clip. It helps to contribute to our understanding of the environmental factors in the deep ocean. As you watch this clip, you see the biodiversity associated with deep sea environments. It costs you nothing, and you can do it in your pajamas. This one was especially interesting. Catalog choice. The time taken? Up to 30 minutes to register with the site and tick off the U.S. firms that you no longer wish to receive direct marketing correspondence from. The impact? Well, it reduces deforestation by reducing the quantity of paper related to junk mail. It costs you nothing. The pajama rating is 100%. And Catalog Choice is a free service in the U.S. that lets you decline paper catalogs you no longer wish to receive, thus helping to preserve the environment. It also saves the direct marketers money by not sending out unwanted junk mail, and it absolutely saves you the aggravation of getting things you don't want. One of the advocacy humanitarian areas that I went to was Survival International, giving tribes a voice. Time taken, 5 minutes to choose a tribe, print off a pre-written letter that explains its plight, and place it in an envelope ready for posting. The impact? It helps tribal people take on the governments and corporations that threaten their very existence. The only requirement cost-wise is postage. I wrote to the president of Brazil in honor of the Yanomami people. Here's a bit of the letter. Your Excellency, President Michael Temer, I am extremely concerned about the Yanomami people. Thousands of gold miners are working illegally on their land, polluting the environment and introducing fatal diseases to the Indians. The miners' presence threatens to wipe out the uncontacted Yanomami, one of the most vulnerable peoples on the planet. I urge you to uphold the Constitution and remove all of the miners from the Yanomami territory immediately and resolve the Yanomami health crisis as a matter of urgency. That only cost $1.15 to send. Another one I chose was Animal Petitions. Stop the looming bee apocalypse. For this, I sent a petition or signed a petition to the Chinese Minister of Agriculture, Minister Hong Changfu. In the petition letter, it stated, bees pollinate about one-third of all food crops humans eat, rendering a service worth an excess of $150 billion worldwide each year. China, being the second largest producer of food in the world, should thus recognize these insects' importance and take the lead in reducing the use of this harmful class of insecticide on its farms. The goal, of course, is to reduce the use of the neonicotinoids, which cause decline of bee populations and negatively impact agriculture. Another advocacy group was Physicians for Human Rights. The time to take to help out here, just a few minutes per action, which could consist of sending emails, signing petitions, or phoning key decision makers. The impact hoped for: advocates for persecuted health workers, stopping torture, investigating mass atrocities, and for bringing justice to ill-treated populations. Costing nothing, a pajama rating of 100%. This group, Physicians for Human Rights, exposed the use of chemical weapons against civilians in Iraq and carried out historic exhumations of mass graves in Bosnia and Rwanda for international tribunals. Their charity Navigator, 4 stars. And there is Earth Justice. Take just a minute to sign a petition. I did that for not allowing seismic airgun surveys in the Atlantic Ocean. To Chief Jolie Harrison of the National Marine Fisheries Services, the proposal to allow seismic airgun surveys in the mid and South Atlantic Ocean would subject thousands of dolphins and whales, including critically endangered North Atlantic right whales, to unnecessary harassment and injury. These animals are vital to the Atlantic Coast marine ecosystem and its economy. I urge you to deny the 5 pending permits to incidentally take marine mammals. Well, there's certainly a lot to choose from to find an activity to volunteer. My 15 years here at Reach Out Radio have been extremely fulfilling. And as well, I've been fortunate enough to be able to be a local hospice caretaker for many years, and now donate platelets to the Red Cross once each month. My life is very rich as a result. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.